So to the folks in the front row, you just got a whole lot closer. But I trust that's okay. Whoops, sorry. Okay, don't knock me over now. So what an awesome testimony, right? Just what God has done in people's lives. I'll take this. No, I don't care about that. I just want to sit on the side. So welcome. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us this morning. That's for you if you want it, Mike. My name is Ron. Next to me is Mike Richard. Mike and his wife Claudia lead our youth ministry. So the greeting you will receive today and especially tomorrow is Happy New Year. Today is the last day, of course, of 2017. Tomorrow begins a whole new year. And you often hear talk at the beginning of a year about resolutions, New Year's resolutions. And the problem with New Year's resolutions, first of all, is very few people expect them to actually stick, right? I mean, New Year's resolutions are known for kind of falling apart 2 to 3 weeks in January. The problem is that the idea that you have of, you know, it would be great to, for a lot of people, it's usually like losing weight, joining the gym, developing an exercise routine, whatever, or it could be any list of other things. There's a distance between the idea.
Can you sit down?
Why?
You're like towering me.
I'm just, I feel like these folks over here are looking at my back virtually, so.
Sorry,
we'll
guys.
Work this out. You can tell we rehearsed this, right? We have all this worked out. There's a distance between the thought, I should do this, and the actual fulfillment of it. And what fills that distance is work, determination, commitment. And that's really what makes the difference. So this morning, we're talking about something we're launching at Living Hope. You've heard about it for several weeks. We want to talk about it more in depth this morning. That we're challenging you to resolve to do this in January. And we'll talk more specifics. It's a prayer reset. Many of you have gotten the devotional. We'll get to that. But go ahead, Mike. What do you want to start with?
I'm still reflecting on, like, the cardboard testimonies as I knew they were coming in this morning. It just blows my mind how God is so interested in our present regardless of our past and how he wants to, like, move us forward in our future. And we're going to continue that, even that theme as we're talking about this whole reset thing and how God is really interested in the here and now and how he wants to provoke your life to be even greater than it was in the past. So I don't know, that's what I'm reflecting on right now is just testimonies can be very, very powerful when you see where people may have been and where God will bring them in spite of maybe even who they are or the world or things that are going around us. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting to hear the stories behind these very abbreviated statements that you saw on the cardboard? I said that the, kind of the distance between like making a decision to want to do something different and it actually coming to pass is work. And I'm sure that every one of these individuals will talk about a partnership of what God did, how God showed up, but how they had to show up too. Does that make sense, everybody? You know, yeah, God is going to do his part, but you've got to show up and you've got to be willing and you've got to be able to or willing to put your steps and your attention to obedience to what God is wanting to do in your life. And that's then what ends up with some of these transformations. So
I had this person, I'll call him a colleague in college, and Claudia will know who I'm talking about. But this goes off of this theme, and basically the way that it worked was this person said that, you know, that they feel like they're supposed to be at college and they're supposed to do all this stuff, and they said, you know, God will provide, and they kept, you know, they asked for prayer all the time for provision. And provision came in several different ways, but they were unaccepted. They came as jobs, they came as work, They came as helping other people out. There's all sorts of different things that there could have been extra income that came in, all sorts of stuff. This person decided, and this may give away their gender, maybe. I'm not trying to be sexist or anything, but they decided to stay in their dorm room and play Xbox. And they asked other people to pray for them. And basically what I'm saying is, like, we can't just expect God to do everything while we sit there and do nothing. We're not meant to be couch potatoes. That's not what we were called to do. So just as we're going through this, recognize and realize and kind of like reflect as this new year comes, are you participating or not?
So we want to start this morning with a number of scriptures just from the Word, looking at the Word and kind of this, following this theme of this partnership between us and God. You know, when we say this is something I want to do, and God meets us, God empowers us, but yet we play a role in that. You want to start us with the James passage,
Mike? Sure. Specifically, I'm going to read the verse, James 4:8. And then I'll go into a little bit. But it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If you read a little bit before and you read a little bit after, it seems pretty harsh, this chapter. And for a man like me, it's very helpful because I sometimes need to be talked to harshly. So when I read this, first of all, when you read the first part, it says, draw near to God. Okay, so A, we have a job, okay? Our job is to draw near to him. However, we get a promise that if we do that, he will draw near to us. So when you get into these things where it's, if you do this, this will happen, God's character stays true to itself, but are you doing your part to make sure it stays true? So even after that, there's a good punch. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm not sure that if we were sitting around the dinner table and we just started saying these things to somebody across the table, they'd be like, oh, that's so positive of you. I'm not sure that they would feel that way. I'm sure they would be like, why are you offending me? How can I reach across this and strangle you? And that is kind of sometimes the way that I need to hear things. Not that Claudia, you know, reaches across the table and strangles me, but I guarantee there's times that she wish she would, and I bet that I might grow from it if she did. So anyway, basically it's coming down to this, like, we have to tell ourselves the honest, harsh truth and ask ourselves, are we actually doing our part? And if we're not, what are we going to actually do about it instead of being like, oh, that's too much work?
Another verse I think that communicates very similarly, I'm going to read several verses from Jeremiah 29, and within the verses I read is going to be a verse that probably most of you will recognize. Some people say this is their favorite verse in the Bible. You see it all over Facebook. People get it tattooed on their body, you know, wall plaques and everything. But this is it, Jeremiah 29. I'm going to start reading at verse 10. Now, just the background, the people of Judah, the southern nation of Judah, part of the nation of Israel, was taken to Babylon in captivity. And they were there for 70 years. Imagine being taken captive to Canada or to Venezuela or some foreign land and held there for 70 years. This is what they were just coming through, and then God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says this in verse 10. This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. He was talking about bringing them back to Jerusalem, bringing them back to their home. Then here it is, verse 11. You'll recognize this. Verse 11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. What an awesome promise, right? God says, I know the plans I have for you. My plans are going to prosper you. He goes on then with another great promise in verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Another great promise, okay? Now, if I can, I'm going to skip down to verse 14 where God says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Here's a verse I want to highlight is verse 13. And many of you will recognize this too. It says, you will seek me and you will find me, period. No, there's not a period there. There's more. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So the Christian life, the Christian walk is a walk of pursuit. We have to be pursuing. We have to be seeking. We have to be looking. God promises when he says, I will be found by you, that is implying something, that you're going to be looking for me. So we can't just play Xbox and expect God to show up. We have to be active seekers in the journey.
Not that he can't show up when you're playing Xbox.
Exactly. But it normally doesn't work that way.
I don't play anymore, by the way, just in case. It wasn't like I was, you know.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I have one. It hasn't been on in a long time.
I got it. Thank you, sir.
So I think the bottom line about what we're talking about is, you guys, who's picked up a book? Raise your hand. Nice and high so I can see you. None of this stuff. All right, so a good majority of you. If you still want one, we still have copies.
We have a few here, and I'll divvy out what we have in a few more minutes, and we'll see how many more we need.
Okay, yeah. And so if you still need one because you haven't got one, let us know. There's a couple up here. And if they run out, let us know, and we'll see if we have any others. But to be honest, it's just a book, right? It's just paper made from some tree somewhere in the world, and that's what it is. It's not the Bible. It's a different book. And so it's a good tool that we could use. But the thing that we want to talk about mostly is that this is a tool to help us pursue God in this new year. And that's really what the point of it is. It's short. It's sweet. It gets us restarted or reset. It helps us be able to power down some of our life and how we feel about what's been going on in 2017 and start over in 2018. And that's what it is. It's a tool. It's a tool to hopefully help us be able to reset, get closer to God, get to know him better, and pursue him. That's the whole point. So this morning, we will be referencing the book, but mostly it's about pursuing God in 2018. Not just for the 20 days that we're going to set for this, but to continue through the rest of 2018. As Ron said earlier, sometimes we do things for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're kind of like, oh, well, that resolution has been dead. Like, I just don't got time for that. It makes me too busy. I'm just busy doing other things that are more important, higher priorities. We're going to talk about that.
If I could just go back to this testimony thing, I was just going to share like a little bit of my journey related to this testimony. When Jessica asked me if I would be willing to participate in this thing you just saw, can I be really candid? My first thought was, what would I write? Like, I don't have what some would call a colorful testimony. Like, I was raised in a Christian home, a perfect home, absolutely not. Not a perfect home. There were some issues in the family. But generally speaking, I was a, quote, good kid. You know, never really got in trouble. And I'm like, what am I going to write? And I'm just being honest with you. I bet I'm not the only person in the room that would... I don't know why you're laughing. I don't think I want to know. Molly is saying something to you, apparently. I bet, though, that I wouldn't be the only person to feel that way. But I was thinking about this, and actually when I was on the phone with Jessica another time. I'm like, wait a minute. Before Christ, I was lost. After Christ, I was found. It doesn't matter how colored the story is. You know, we think sometimes, well, if I was raised in a good home and I went to church my whole life, there was really nothing that, oh, yeah, there was something that happened. If you accepted Christ, at that moment, you went from being lost to being found. For me, it was when I was 18 years old. 18 years old. You don't need to know any of the background. It's a very, very simple thing. I was just at a meeting one place in worship, and I made a decision, basically. And the decision was, I'm going to start taking this seriously. My sign said I was faking religion or acting religious or however I wrote that, which was me. You know, everything looked pretty good on the outside, but I wasn't taking God seriously. And I think that is, again, one of those turning points for all of these testimonies. There comes a point where someone says, I'm going to start taking God seriously. And the bridge I would build from that statement to what we're doing in January, if you want to take God seriously, you cannot do that. You cannot do that without some form of prayer life and time with God. You just can't. You just can't. If you think you can, I'm afraid you're mistaken, because you cannot take God seriously and actually begin to grow in your relationship without that. So, anything you want to jump in there yet?
To give it to a practical level, like, I always use married couples because me and my wife aren't perfect. And if we don't communicate, we don't feel like we're in it together, no matter what it is. There's several times, and I still really stink at this, there's several times where we will have to do something, and some of our friends will know this, and we have to do something, and she finds out the same day. And she's like, wait, but I had to do this thing. And I'm like, oh, we'll figure it out, I guess. My point is, if prayer is your communication to God, and if that breaks down, your relationship breaks down. Just like in marriage, if our communication breaks down, our relationship will start breaking down in different areas. So that's why he emphatically says, Ron, that you cannot, and I agree, you cannot. Imagine you have a friend or somebody and you guys don't ever talk, but when you need something, you go and ask for it. Isn't that how we treat God? So,
we said we were going to just talk about our own, like some of our own experiences in this, and you know, kind of our own journey in this thing of creating time for God and making time for God. And by nature, I tend to be kind of a scheduled, systematic type of person. So for me, once I got married, I said to myself, you know, okay, this is my life now. This is my life. I'm married. I've got to figure out how to do this in my schedule. So I started then, first thing in the morning, before I would, you know, go on to other things, I would have a time with the Lord in the Word, prayer, whatever it was. And that's pretty much been my pattern, but it's come and gone. You know, for those of you who think I'm this holy pastor that spends 7 hours a day in prayer, I'm sorry I have to disappoint you. That's not always true of me. If anything, for me, it actually got a little harder when I became a pastor, because a pastor can be fooled into thinking that virtually everything I do involves God. So like my all day long is my quiet time. You know, I'm praying with people and I'm talking with people and I'm studying for a sermon. And that's not completely false, but it can be deceiving, because there's a difference between doing religious or spiritual things and connecting with God one-to-one. There's a difference between the two, and I at times fail in that. A year ago, almost exactly a year ago, in the beginning of January in 2017, I took a several-day retreat, and I went to this retreat not really with a specific goal in mind other than just to spend time with God, but it was there that God really challenged me, and I received this challenge of, I need to spend more time in prayer. And I came away from the retreat saying, okay, 90 minutes. I'm going to spend 30 minutes in the Word and 60 minutes praying every morning. One of those New Year's resolutions, right? And I would say I've done fairly well with that. I cannot tell you I have met that goal every day. But I started the year really strong in that. I started the year multiple months into the year really strong in that. And several people that are sitting in this group came to me and said, Ron, there's something different about you. And I have to confess, as the year went on, I felt like I gave back a little bit of that momentum for various reasons. You know, stuff happens and life happens and you start getting distracted. But that remains my commitment to do that because I know that it's so important.
In Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14, this to me is super, super humbling. If you guys know who wrote Philippians, it was Paul, and he's the man. I mean, if you read through the bio, this dude is no joke. Like, he loves God. He had a dramatic change. His testimonies from being completely wicked and killing Christians to, you know, trying to tell everybody about God in any way that he ever possibly could, anywhere that he went. This is what he says. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And, like, I think that me and Ron are going to mimic that because we want you guys to know, like, we have not made it, but we understand that there is a path to go, and we understand that we want to drive forward, and we understand that this is important. It doesn't mean that we haven't messed up in 2017. It doesn't mean that we are... devotional life has maybe slipped what we originally committed to, but we got to get back to it. It's always about continuing to know where the goal is and continuing to pursue it, regardless if you fall down or not. If you guys have ever had a goal or something like that and you fall down, and then you're like, oh, well, I fell down, so I'll start again sometime. Like, you kind of give yourself leeway all of a sudden because you messed up. I know that I have done that before. I know that I still do it sometimes. Don't allow that to happen. Like, fight against that, because the temptation is, you already messed up, so what's another day? You already didn't read your Bible. What's again tomorrow? You lay your head on the pillow and you say, oh, I didn't get to read today. I'll read tomorrow. And then you notice your head's on the pillow the next day and you're saying the same thing. I'll read it tomorrow. Sometimes you just got to, like, force yourself to do things to get yourself back in track of what you were doing. But the honest truth is, just like Paul said, and he was an awesome, awesome lover of God, we make mistakes, we're not perfect, and we desire to do the right thing, but sometimes we don't, and he says that also.
I think I'm ready to shift to start talking a little bit about the book. Are you ready for that? Do you have anything else you want to add to the scripture part?
Not currently.
Okay, all right. So, we've talked about this now for a number of months, number of weeks. If this is your first Sunday here, you probably haven't seen this book, but it's a simple book. It's called Reset by Bob Sorge, and it is a very simple devotional book, and this is how we are trying to apply what we're challenging you with this morning. This is a 2020 challenge, and that the challenge is to spend 20 minutes in prayer for 20 days, 2020. Now, the way we're planning, I mean, first of all, we want to do it together. There's benefit in doing it together. And the way we thought we would handle the 20 days is this way. Rather than starting tomorrow with 20 days straight, we would encourage you to do Monday through Friday, 5 days, okay? And then you skip the week. No, don't. I'm going to come back to that. Don't take that literally, skipping the weekend. We're not going to continue in numbers on the weekend. And then the next week, we would do 6 through 10. Then the week after that, Monday through Friday, would be 11 through 15. You get the idea. So what about the weekends? Well, don't lose momentum on the weekends. What I encourage you to do is, as you're going through the 5 days, there are places in here to write things. But also get an underliner, underline things, write big exclamation marks, write a star if something really impresses you. And then on the weekends, you spend your time then just reviewing the 5 days, going back over the 5 days you covered that week, looking at your highlights, looking at the things you've written. And that way, this will last us for the 4 weeks of January. This will basically take us through the month of January if we do it that way. Directions, there are instructions in the front, very, very simple. Bring your Bible, notepad, and pen each day to your reset. Most chapters invite you to write out a scripture or make some kind of notation. If you're reading this book in an electronic format, therefore, I suggest you use a paper notepad alongside your device. This icon, and if you look at the icon in the very center of the screen up there, it's a circle, almost complete circle with a vertical line sticking out of the top. A lot of you will recognize that like from the power button on your computer. And everybody who's, or I see anybody who's worked with computers long enough knows that if things just get locked up, what do? You hit that button.
Shut it down.
You hit that button, you shut everything down, and you cause a reset. You cause a restart. So in this devotional, that icon invites you to pause and reflect on what you've just read. So at various places, you'll see a sentence, and it'll be followed by that icon, the circle with the vertical line coming out of the top. That's an invitation. Just hold on a second now. Stop reading and reflect on what you just read. At the back of this book, you'll find some optional questions for group discussion. When possible, do your reset with a small group. Life groups, accountability groups, anybody like that that is meeting currently, I encourage you to try to include this. You don't have to spend your whole time with this, but blend this into what you're doing in January. Just see how people are doing. See where they're at on it. See how it's going. I think that's all I would probably share about that at the moment. Now, Mike asked earlier how many of you got books. How many of you still need a book? Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay, put your hands up high. I'm going to have to start because we don't have enough. Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight down here, nine there, 10 here, 11 in the back. Okay, 11 books. I have three up here. This is a good problem to have. I mean, virtually everyone has gotten one of these, which I'm really excited about. So what do we do with this? We will order more books, but we won't have them. We would hopefully have them till next Sunday, but there's a chance we might not have them till the following Monday or Tuesday. So you'd be missing a chunk of that time. There is another option, but there's a cost attached. And I apologize for that because we've purchased these as a church and we've not been charging. You can get an electronic copy on the website, which is called, where did I write it here? Oasis House. OASIS, oasishouse.com. You can purchase an electronic copy, but I think it's $5 or $6. So that's an option. I'm trying to think of some other options we could use. I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking right now. We may be able to photocopy some of the pages. Now that's legal if you're going to go ahead and purchase the book then. You can't do that in lieu of purchasing a book. If you need a copy, make sure we get your name at the end of the service. We might be able to work on that yet before you leave. So to get a couple days photocopied for you. Okay, so that's a general idea. So we want to do it together. You know, let's do this together. 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes a day. We'll talk about the challenges in a couple minutes, but because I know what you're thinking. I know what some of you are thinking already. We'll get to that in a minute, but did you want to cover the Devo thing?
Yeah. Where did the word devotion come from? Anybody know? Why do we say devotion? Like, this is my devotion for the day. Huh? Okay, whatever your answer is, just throw it out. It doesn't matter anyway. Yeah, devoted. So when you read a book for 20 minutes and you say, this is my devotion to God, don't say something so stupid. You're going to give God 20 minutes. That's your devotion. So when we call it a Devo, you know, then we start abbreviating it, you know, here's my Devo. I won't go too deep, sorry.
Thank you.
You're right. Our daily bread on the back of the toilet, that's your devotion time? Yeah? Yeah, I got in today. Yeah, you did. This is the point I'm trying to make, is like, your life should be devoted, not just 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So when you say you're doing your devos, remember at least when you say it that you know what you're talking about. Because this is not all God is asking for. He's not asking for 20 minutes. He's asking for your life. He gave his for you. So please don't get stuck in two different boxes, okay? A, the box is, I did my devos. I'm good for the day. Okay? Or the opposite box where it says, oh, I need to get my devos done so I can get the check in the box. Right? Because we do both of those things. Okay, now that I've done them, I can go on my day doing what I want to do. Another stupid statement. The point is when you're doing your devotion or you're reading a book or something like that, know that that is a tool to help you be devoted to God. It is not your complete devotion. If it is, then you really do need a reset. And that's why we're trying to do this, because that's not what God is calling us to do. He's not calling you to reset for just 20 minutes. He wants your life to be devoted. This is just a tool to help us do that. So when we talk about like checking in the box, I think one of our largest concerns was is that you would do the 20 days, or you would, some of you would do the 20 days, and by the time you got the 20 days over, you'd be like, I did it, I'm good, checked all 20 days, I feel accomplished, my completionist inside of me is fulfilled, and then you'll just go back to what you normally did. That is not the goal here. That's why when you heard me talking earlier, I said that 2018 would be different, not just the first 20 days of January. So please try very hard. If you're one of the box checkers, I know there's several of you out there. Just remember that it's okay to get it done and to check the box, but is that all that it really means? And kind of check yourself for that. And then the other one would be is when you talk about devotion in general, what do you actually mean? And what are you actually doing? Just some thoughts to provoke your near future and what you're actually going to be doing.
We didn't pick this because this is the greatest prayer devotional ever written in the history of the universe. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it just seemed to us, Mike was the one that discovered this resource and brought it to the elders. And we said, yeah, it's just a very simple layout where you will walk every day through increasingly advancing aspects of prayer and challenges regarding prayer life and how to approach prayer, how to incorporate the word. So we're trusting that it can be a very helpful tool. Like I said before, I already know one thing that probably some of you are saying, and then there might be a second one that's a little less obvious that we struggle with, but you tackle the first one that everybody is saying. Many people are saying.
Yeah, that we just don't have time. You'll find yourself, like I said, putting your head on the pillow, oh, I just didn't have time today. I just want to challenge you in a sense because, like, my biggest question is, well, did you not have time or did you not prioritize? Because God should be first priority. And so if making money's first priority, if even a friend or a fun time or even our family becomes very first priority, we're kind of missing the point. We want to first give our priority to God. And so maybe you are really busy. Maybe there is a lot of stuff going on. Maybe you literally can't find any time to physically look at the word and read it and spend some time praying in some kind of way because there's people badgering you 24/7 and that's your life. First of all, I'd like to meet you. And second of all, then maybe you should pull something off of your plate. You don't want to, life isn't just meant to be busy. Busyness is okay, but is God in your busyness or is he not? So don't just say like I'm too busy. Figure out what's making you busy and why are you giving this priority over God? And does it belong there? Does the priority belong that way? I mean, we could all agree that we'd say, no, the priority doesn't belong there. God is the priority. But what are you going to do about it?
I heard someone say this week that we create time for things that we value.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my challenge would be if you say, I have no time. I mean, that's you. That's between you and God. I mean, we're not here to badger anyone, but I'm simply suggesting that we do make time. I was saying to Mike this week, you know, how we understand that if we don't eat, our body will begin to rebel and begin to shut down. Like, we must. We understand that we must eat to remain active, to remain healthy. We get that. We all get that. We understand we must drink. Dehydration is not a pleasant thing. We must rest. You can go a day, maybe two if you're really strong and drink a lot of coffee maybe without sleeping, but your body will eventually force you to sleep. I mean, whether you want to or not, you will just pass out wherever you are. Your body will force you to sleep. Our problem is we don't view spiritual disciplines like that. We don't view them as that important. We don't view them like we do a meal, like I must spend time with God. Not in a legalistic way, but it's very important. So again, we make time for what we value. The other thing I was saying to Mike this week that I know that I struggle with, and I again have a hunch I'm not the only one in the room, can we just be honest and admit that prayer time feels unproductive? I got things to do, people. I got things to get done. I have phone calls to make. I have emails. I have whatever. You know, you fill in the list of whatever consumes your day. And there's this little voice inside of me that says, if I take 20 minutes, that's 20 minutes I won't be getting other things done. I'm just being honest. If I'm the only one who feels that way, I do feel that way sometimes. I'm like, okay, I want to do this because I've got other things to do. This is not the subject for the morning. I'll mention this really quickly, though. When churches like Living Hope and other churches all around the world teach the principle of tithing regarding finances, we look at this biblical principle of tithing, and we say, and we teach with confidence, we say, if you give God a portion of your finances, the first portion of your finances, a tithe is 10%, we believe, and I know we could fill this room with testimonies of people who will attest to the fact that when you give God that money, he does something amazing with the 90% that's left over. And the 90% ends up going further than the 100% would have gone if you hadn't been tithing. Does anybody else in the room believe that? Have you experienced that? It doesn't make sense on the spreadsheet. It doesn't make sense on the calculator. But there's this thing that we believe when we honor God, he will actually get involved. It's the same principle with your time. Say, I don't have time. I don't have time to take even 10 minutes. If you take these 20 minutes or more, some of you might already be in a habit of taking more, God will do something during the remaining time, and you'll get your work done. You will get your work done because you honored him. You honored him, you'll get your work done. So, yeah. I mean, I know those are the two challenges. I don't have time, or like I just have too many other things to do. I think there was anything else I want to hit on that part.
Well, you're thinking.
Go ahead.
Yep. Something that has been really helpful for myself, whether it's me realizing it or people calling it out in me or me noticing it in other people, is when you know that you should do something and then something comes up and you have this excuse and you know deep down inside that's a terrible excuse, like, or that at least the excuse that you're using is just because you need to use something to have the excuse, then let's try to be honest with ourselves and people around us and stop doing that. It really hinders our life moving forward because now we have created this excuse in which it makes us be who the excuse tells us we have to be versus who we are actually meant to be, because we just, it kind of helps us. You know, like, I can use this excuse and it will help me when people ask me questions and when the hard times come and when this and that. Don't use the excuse. Throw the excuse away. Try to figure out why the excuse is there, why it has to come up for you to feel better about the situation, and be honest with yourself and be honest with people around you. I feel like excuses alone will hinder us in a great portion of this whole idea. I feel like it might even be the number one culprit, even over you having time or not having enough time, because that is an excuse. Or what was the other one we said?
Being unproductive.
I feel like we can make excuses. I was doing my devos the other day, right? I was doing my devos the other day, and I was sitting there, and the same thing happened. 5 minutes in, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get this done. And I was like, I stood up. I went to go do it. I did it really quick. I sat back down, and I was like, why did I just do that? Why couldn't I have just waited? Like, what was the big deal? And honestly, I could have waited. It's just like you feel like you're really unproductive. And so my excuse was, it needs to get done. Well, it could have got done in another 20 minutes after that, another 30 minutes, I would have been fine. So we struggle too, you know. It's a real life. We're not holier than thou. It's real life is real life.
So. I want to make one real comment, one short comment about boxes. Mike was talking about boxes, and we use that kind of terminology at Living Hope normally in a negative way. Like, don't put God in a box. Don't view things in a box. God is bigger than a box. But I think I would say this. If you are sitting here this morning and you've taken one of these books, and if you're being very honest right now and you currently don't have a prayer life, you just don't. You don't have a devotional life. You don't have a routine where you take time for God. You just don't. Hey, if we're honest, I'm sure there's probably a few people in the room who would say that. Let me recommend something. Forgive me, Mike, but you need a box. You need some structure to start with. And this book will get into that. He'll talk about things like find a place, a consistent place. I saw this really cool clip this week. I might show it in a week or two. Find a place, find a time. Now, I know this is variable. Some people say, well, it's difficult, but the things I've read, the people I talk to, what works best seems to be if you can find a place, you can find a time, and you can establish a routine. That sounds kind of boxy, right? We're not trying to be legalistic, but if you want to start something, I think you're going to need some type of structure. Some kind of routine, some type of regular thing. Do you have to do it at exactly the same time every day? Of course not. God is not boxy like that. But you probably need some type of structure to get started.
I was just going to say, coming from a person that's why he looked at me and said, sorry, doesn't necessarily like that. Also, I'm a night person. I won't tell you what time I went to bed last night because it won't be beneficial. But let's just say it was very, very late. I didn't want to stay up that late. Anyway, here's the deal. From a non-morning, unstructured, well, I don't really always enjoy structured person. First, let me do this before I say what I'm going to say. If you're a night person, raise your hand. If you hate the mornings, you hate them, but you love night, that's kind of where you find your spot. That's like where you become your own. Yeah, that's me, usually around 2 a.m., right? All right,
probably 10% at least, 10% of the crowd.
So I have something to tell you guys specifically, and then if the rest of you guys can take this information as helpful, then do it. Spend time alone with God in the morning. Why? Because you should be starting your day off with him anyway, getting your head focused anyway. And I have found myself doing the same thing that I said now 3 times. At night, I'll find my head on the pillow and I'll say, I didn't spend my structured time with God. So what I have found myself doing more so is waking up earlier, sacrificing or whatever, getting up and reading and praying when it's quiet and not when it gets all busy. So yes, if you're a night person, that will stink. But you waking up 30 minutes early, 45 minutes early, it will be beneficial to your life, I can promise you. Even if you're a night person, you know. I am saying that humbly, saying, I'm a night person, and I used to say, oh, I'll get them done in the evening. And, well, just you lost it 50% of the time or more, you know. And it's just because the day happens. So, sorry, everyone. Thank you for raising your hands, but now we know who you all are. So now it would be nice if you woke up in the morning and did your devos. But yeah, I found it really helpful. So just try it and see after a little while if it really, honestly, gives you more joy in your life.
Very quickly, for those of you who already have a well-established quiet time routine, prayer routine, reading routine, you might be reading, you know, a particular section of the Bible or studying something, you're already completely engaged in that. I think my recommendation for you would be, if you could, just kind of add this alongside. You can read through one of these chapters in, if you're a fast reader, probably in 3 or 4 minutes. They're not very long. Now, for the rest of you, don't do that. If it's 20 minutes you're taking, give it 20 minutes. But if you're already occupied with whatever your other devotional pursuits are, there's going to be value in doing this together and kind of learning these lessons together. We'll be talking about them on Sundays through January, some of the things we're covering. And so I'd encourage you, if you're able, just kind of put it in alongside of other things you're doing. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but that way you can kind of be included in what everybody else is doing. Anything else on that? Then we'll end with just very brief challenges. All morning's been a challenge, right?
Yeah.
That's been the idea.
I would just say, well, something that I think could be really helpful is if you try not to watch the clock the whole time when you're doing it. I have found myself like, okay, 16 minutes, 4 more. All right, yeah, 3 more. All right, I'm doing it. But what ends up happening is now you're putting yourself in a legalistic box because you're like, oh, I have to do this for 20 minutes or whatever. I dare you to just kind of like turn your phone off and put it to the side, or don't look at the clock and kind of just like read through it, process, pray, and then look up and be like, wow, that was 26 minutes. That wasn't so bad. Because that's the likelihood of what will actually happen. But when you keep watching the clock, it's like, you guys heard the saying, like, a watched pot never boils. It feels like it doesn't. But if you walk away, all of a sudden it's like overflowing, right? So it's kind of the same thing. Just walk away with God, and it will start overflowing.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up. Again, it's not about this book. What our goal is for January is to help you start or strengthen a regular prayer time. If you give yourself to this, this will change your life. Now, don't on day two, when you say, well, you know, I've done it 2 days and I feel nothing. It's boring. Like, I half fall asleep. Like, you can't do that. Remember I said there's a distance between the idea and the completion, and what's in between there is work? It's a partnership. God will meet you, but you have to give yourself to it. Please don't give up after day two. Give yourself to this. 4 weeks, every day, give yourself to this, and it really will change your life.
I was just going to say, if we do it together in a community, I really think that not only will Living Hope feel different, I think local people will feel a difference. I feel like the community would know a difference, because when we're spending time with God, God will be more powerful in us and through us, and that is noticeable. So I would be really pleased if we could see like a good percentage of us actually take this seriously for 2018, starting with the first 20 days and moving from there. But and watch God move in the ways that we've been wanting him to move for a long time. So are we willing to be devoted to him so that we can work as the actual team that he has created us to be? And if we do, I believe it will be a guarantee change and difference.
I'd love to hear your testimonies as we go, like especially if this is kind of a new thing for you. No shame in that. If it's a new thing for you, you start it. Let us know how it's going. Send me an email. Send me a text. Let Mike know. I'd love to include those as we go through the morning. Okay, so here's the deal. I have 1, 2, 3 unclaimed copies up here, and Carol, with her great efficiency, went and made, it looks like 11 copies. Is this 11 copies? So we have photocopies that'll get you through the first 6 days. Again, this is not our way of distributing the book. We will purchase the copies, but this will get you started. So if you need a copy, please come forward when we finish, okay? I'm just going to pray, and we're gonna finish. Anything else last minute you want to throw in yet? Actually, you pray for us, and then, okay. then we'll be done. Then come up and get a few books and some photocopies.
God, for some of us, 2017 has been a very hard year. For some of us, it has been a really triumphant year. But God, we want to look forward to what you have for us in this next season. And God, we ask right now that we wouldn't make excuses. Oh, I don't know how that fell. We wouldn't make excuses. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, you're good.
Lord, you can hear me, right? Yeah. That we wouldn't make excuses, but God, that you would really help us to just really focus in on this new year and what you have for us. God, as there's always challenges that will arise and how the enemy and the world doesn't like that we start pursuing you, there will be more things that try to drag us down and pull us aside. God, I just ask that we would stay focused. God, I pray for a new anointing on each one of us, that we would have this deeper desire to want to get to know you. God, help us to go from knowing about you to knowing you, and help us to get to feel like you're actually our friend and actually like our Father and actually like you care and actually our Lord and our Savior and the one who died for us, God. As we begin this reset tomorrow, I just ask that you would be in it, that even day one we would feel your presence. Lord, we are just using this book as a tool, but we honestly just want to come into your presence to see and hear what you want to say and do. God, I ask that you would change our lives miraculously, that this year would be a completely crazy year for spiritual growth. Ultimately, God, we want you to have your way. We know that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And we know, God, that you, the way that you think about our lives is way better and way greater than what we have ever planned. So, God, I ask that we would submit ourselves to you in this new season, and we will just see what you have for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done on the cross. Thank you for making disciples and sending them out. Thank you for welcoming us into the family. And God, we just ask that we would be good family members. Help us to be the body that you called us to be. In your name, Jesus, amen.
And Father, I would add specifically for those who may be sitting in this room right now, they're hearing it like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, whatever. But God, unless we really want this, unless we desire this, it's not really going to take off. And God, the chapter one that starts tomorrow is entitled Desire. So we pray, I pray, God, that if there are those of us who are lacking the want to, God, we pray for the want to. We pray for that desire to fill us, that we would really be able to give ourselves to this. So come and give us that desire, Lord, to know you more, to get closer to you, to press in, to ask, to seek, to knock, because we know in so doing it will change our lives. Thank you, Lord, for these precious promises to us where you say that we will find you when we seek with all our hearts. We thank you for that, God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, thank you. And you're dismissed.
Yeah. Lastly, all I wanted to say, if you know you're prone to wander, you're prone to not follow through, find an accountability partner that would keep you accountable, text you or call you every day or see how you're doing throughout the devotion. That's been really helpful in my life in different situations. So if you're that person, find somebody and ask them to keep you accountable, and you do the same for them.
Okay. If you need a book, please come up and get one. We have a few books. We have photocopies. So come on up.